Well, I would appreciate your prayers tonight. I know this is Christmas Day. How wonderful to hear the songs and the blessing of the Lord upon it. What a wonderful thing this represents. And I appreciate it so much. And I'm with Brother Gary. I don't know anywhere else I would rather be than here. Thank the Lord for it tonight. But I feel like the Lord's given me a little something different than a Christmas message, I suppose. So I'm thinking about the chain of events I wrote on the board. You know, so many times you can accurately predict quite a while ahead of something happening. Have you ever seen things happen and predicted them 10 years before that? Many times it's just very predictable, isn't it? And so I want to think a little bit tonight about what they call a chain of events or an error chain. And so that in accident analysis, a chain of events or error chain consists of the contributing factors leading to an undesired outcome. And I looked up a little bit. There was an aviation disaster. This was in 1977 that was the worst on record. There was 583 fatalities in that crash, and it wasn't in the air. It was, I believe it was still on the ground, two airliners, two 747s trying to take off, and they ran into each other.
Right.
And this was at Tenerife Airport on the Spanish island of Tenerife. And, you know, the primary cause they found out of the accident was the KLM captain's decision to take off in the mistaken belief that a takeoff clearance from air traffic control had been issued. He thought he had been told to go, and he went. And the worst catastrophe in airline industry happened from that just a few minutes later. And they said that there was some other contributing factors. It was heavy fog, and so he really couldn't see what he thought he heard, so he was going by instruments and couldn't see what was really happening. There was several things that lined up there. There was an awful lot of traffic there that day because there had been a bomb threat on another airport, and so they had a lot of those aircraft coming through this Tenerife airport. And so the accident happened, and a terrible thing happened. And tonight I want to talk about the chain of events leading up to things that happen. They're not all bad things that happen. There's some awesome and wonderful things happen because things are put in place a long time before they happen, and they come to pass. And I think about Jesus when he was in his temptations. This is in Luke 4 and 1 and 2 if you want to look at it. But it says here that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. You know, Jesus here, this tells us a whole lot. It says that he was exactly where God wanted him. It says he was led by the Holy Ghost into this place. And you know, Jesus conquered in this time. He made it through. He weathered one of the severest storms a human can weather. He had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And here Satan, at his very weakest point, came to him. How can we know and how can we expect to overcome at a time like that? Well, I want to share some things with you tonight. A few things I feel like the Lord has burdened us with tonight. So you pray for us and I'll trust the Lord for the rest. You know, Jesus was seeking the blessing of God there. He was setting himself up, doing exactly what God wanted him to do, and he was setting himself up for the God of heaven to come down and strengthen him in his lowest time. He spent that time, and he kept the word of God there. I'm coming to some things here in a few minutes. He kept the word of God and used it when Satan came along. He meditated on the word. He countered Satan's temptations with the word. And then he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And you know, before that ever happened, when he came out of that time, when he came out of this place was where the anointing of the Spirit of God fell upon his ministry. And he began with great power to minister. You know, the Lord many times takes us into places because he wants to do things in our lives. He wants to change who we are. He wants to give us experiences that the Holy Ghost comes upon us in a way that it wasn't before. And many times those times come like this. Jesus was right in the center of God's will, and he was being tempted, but he was centered in God's will. You know, Satan was there, and Jesus was weak. He was vulnerable. But I want to tell you something. Jesus was protected. He was protected by being in the center of God's will. I want to contrast this with another story that we are quite familiar with, in Genesis 3 and 2 and 3. And here we find, it says here, and the woman said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, this is 3 and 1, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now I know there's a little question about, did she add to the words of God? I think she was speaking from her heart. That's just my belief. She was just telling him, he said, don't touch it, don't go there. You know, I want to think for a few minutes tonight about where Eve was at. Eve was not in the wilderness fasting. Eve was in the Garden of Eden. You ever heard of the Garden of Eden? What do you suppose it was like? You know, I've tried to sit and think, what must it have been like when God put his best out there before the flood, before things began to be different and life was shortened and all, and God had made man and made for him the Garden of Eden. I believe it must have been amazing. And the world today is amazing, but can you imagine what the Garden of Eden was like? Can you imagine what it was like? I can somewhat. For God to come down and visit with them. I hope you've had God come down and visit with you. But I think here, I just think this was a little bit ethereal or something. I think the garden was something that, it was very special, wasn't it? I don't think Eve had anything to complain about, do you? I don't think she thought she had anything to complain about. But do you know that in the middle of all that bounty, in the middle of all that beauty, in the middle of all that that was so good that God was giving her, there was one tree in the middle. That's what the midst means. It means it was in the middle. And you know what? God made them to love Him. And true love cannot be love unless it has a choice. And God knew that. He set this up because He wanted there to be men and women that really loved Him, that made the choice to walk with God, made the choice to know the Lord. And so right here in the middle of this garden was this tree. You know, Eve put herself, I believe, now it don't tell us all these things, but I've seen enough people and enough things to I believe I'm probably not too far from right here, okay? I think she put herself in a place that she shouldn't have put herself. I think that this was probably not the first time she walked by that tree. I think this is not the first time as she walked by, Satan said, "Hey, look at this tree over here. Hey, Eve, look over here." And I think she was like, "I'm in the Garden of Eden. Look at all this that God has provided. Why would I do that? God told me not to do that." And I just, this is what I've seen people do. This is what I expect probably happened. There was a chain of events probably that led up to this. And by, at some time or other, Eve decided to stop and take it in. That's a big mistake. She decided to stop and have a conversation. Now, maybe she didn't realize as she was staring at that beautiful tree that had beautiful fruit and all those things. And, you know, I wonder about this big mistake, wouldn't you say? You know what happened then? Let me go back a minute. I have to think that Adam and Eve loved the Lord. For a time, I think they loved God. I think they loved it when He came down and talked to them. What a time. The God of heaven, His heavenly presence. Now we get little taste of it here in the meetings. And God wants to give us tastes of it in our life too, in our prayer time and different, and He does. But you know what? Here, I believe that they knew, this is really special that God has given to me. I'm really thankful. I think they had conversation with God. And I think they probably said, "God, this is awesome. Thank you. Wow, what do we have here?" But you know what? There came a time when a chain of events began to happen, and she stopped and began to look, and somehow her mind began to go to, "Why not?" And forgot that God said, "Don't. Don't go near that thing." I don't know what all He told her. I don't think He probably wrote everything God told him. But I'm guessing God let them know, don't go and be around that tree. Stay your distance from that tree. That tree, in the day you eat of it, you're going to die. You know what? Somewhere along the way, the devil started talking to Eve, and he simply said, she told him, "Of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.' And the serpent said unto the woman, 'Ye shall not surely die.'" Well, you know what? She probably could have been on down the lane. She probably didn't need to be standing there hearing that to begin with. She was setting herself up to be whipped and to be taken and to die. And so, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew something really has changed here. You know, this evening, folks, let's don't stop where God says, don't be any part of that. Don't get close to that. Don't do that thing. Let's don't stop by there and start looking and wondering. We're setting ourselves up to be overtaken. Don't reason with Satan. You know what Jesus said? He said, he quoted scripture. And he gave scripture for this is what the God has said. And then you know what he said? Now get behind me. Get out of here. You know what, folks? Too many times the Lord wants us to win. And I just want to reason with us a little bit tonight, because folks, I believe that many times, years before we fall, we set ourselves up for it. We begin to take things into our life that we know we should not do. We know it is not spiritually beneficial. We know that God isn't really pleased with it. And we begin to dabble with things, and we begin to allow the enemy room into our life, and maybe we have a hurt in our mind, and we know God says get rid of it. And the messages come across the pulpit, and the Lord says, it's you, get rid of that. And we pet it. And no, but I can't get rid of this thing. They hurt me. I want to tell you something. There'll come a day that that's going to be a problem. On down the road. You know what happened with Eve? This is my belief. She was weak and vulnerable, a little bit like the Lord was, because she was in a contest there with Satan, which is a lot smarter than she was as far as brain. And you know what? Excuse me. She wasn't protected then. And so she fell from her place because she began to look, she began to touch, she began to taste, she began to eat. And then she fell, and the rest she could not, she didn't have anything to do with the rest. She couldn't help what was going to happen after that. She didn't know it, although God had told her. She didn't know what that meant, you're going to die. And so, and folks, many times we don't know what it's going to mean either. When the Lord begins to work in our hearts and lives, folks, it's time to give it up. Whether it's a hurt, whether it's a love, folks, we all go there, don't we? We all are human. We all have feelings. We all have hurts. What are we going to do with them? We all feel our flesh being pulled out after something, don't we? Sure we do. What are we going to do with it? How are we going to deal with it? Are we going to set ourselves up by petting those things, by coming close, by letting the devil begin to speak to us? Because that's what happens if you pet those things this morning. I want to encourage us a little bit here and use sidestep for a minute and talk about what Eve could have done all along. She could have kept herself strong. She could have been thankful. She could have said, this is the Garden of Eden. Are you kidding, Satan? Get behind me. God told me this, and I know it was God. And I'm not going to have anything to do with it. And she could have enjoyed what she had. And she could have been thankful for what she had. But I will tell you, when we begin the steps of losing our thankfulness for the things we have, we are headed down a road. We're headed down a road that's going to be very, very costly. In Romans 1 and 21, it says, because that, Well, he said they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Do you know what the scripture here is saying? When they knew, when they knew God, they were not thankful. Now, I want to encourage us tonight to look around and be real thankful for all the things that we have. I have woke up lately to this Thanksgiving thing. I will tell you, everything that we have, when we sit down to the table, and maybe we have milk, and maybe we, you know, God made the cow, and he made the milk, and then he gave us power to eat of it. And he made me able to buy it and have it at my table. And then the meat and then the fruits and the vegetables and all the good things that he has. Folks, I want to ask you what is in your garden. You enjoy those things too? You know what? We can look around at those things and enjoy them, or we can look at the thing or two that we don't have. We can look at that pleasure that we thought we wanted to do as a young person, and we can start centering in on those things, and we can end up losing our place with the Lord, can't we? We can die, and then what we can't help is what happens after that. But I will tell you what we can help, and that's that when they knew God, we can be thankful. Because it says after they were not thankful anymore, it says that they became vain in their imaginations, and they began to look at things, at whatever. That might even be hurts or whatever. And then their foolish heart was darkened, and they lost what they had. You know, going back there to Genesis, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. Now, you know, folks, I really believe if she would have stayed thankful, if she would have stayed with the Word of God as Jesus did in his temptation, He was there praying to the Father. He was fasting and praying those 40 days and 40 nights. Eve, she was doing something different, wasn't she? She stopped by. Look at the one thing that she couldn't have. And she was in the Garden of Eden. I want us to keep a couple of things in mind. The lie is not true. Did you hear that? The lie is not true. It's a deception. When he lied to her and said, "You surely won't die," it was a deception, wasn't it? It wasn't true. Because it changed her life. She lost every good thing seemingly that she had almost. Because she took into that. She bought into it. I want to keep in mind something else. Folks, there is a way to keep ourselves strong. And I just want to encourage us tonight. Y'all pray for us tonight. I just want to encourage us tonight. Keep yourself strong in the Lord. Keep yourself thankful. You know, the scriptures abound telling us to be thankful for the things that we have. It is easy for us to be unthankful, but the scriptures abound telling us in everything, give thanks, the scripture says. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is Colossians 3:15. To the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Reading on down a couple of verses, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You know, I really believe this is part of our secret, folks. Let's set ourselves up that we won't be overthrown by the enemy. And part of setting ourselves up is when we are thankful to the Lord and we allow We allow him to work in our lives. And instead of centering on what he allowed into our lives, whether it's an offense or whether it's an affliction or whether it's a problem or whether it's a temptation or whatever comes into our life, we can center on those things if we want to, or we can center on the Lord and be thankful for what he has given to us. He's given us salvation. Folks, to me, there isn't anything greater than that. I want to center on that. I want to fix on that and let the Lord inspire my life. In Proverbs 4 and 14, I want to read a little scripture here. It says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way in the way of evil men." And listen to what it says, avoid it. This is part of why I believe God said some of this to Eve and to Adam. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Do you know tonight, we can take this route if we want to. It'll help set us up for success. Avoid those places. Don't go in the way of evil. Whether it's as we've said, I know in working with many people at times, folks, hurts and angers and resentments and bitternesses are big. Also temptations and lust and things that people want to do are big. He says here in Proverbs, don't go in the path of the wicked. And he says, don't enter into that path and don't go in the way of evil men. And he says, avoid it and pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. I want to encourage you tonight that if the devil's been plaguing your life and on your trail, I want to tell you, we can set ourselves up in a way that is sure to succeed. We can do that. Or we can set ourselves up in a way that's going to make it really difficult for us. And we're going to be tempted in a way that we shouldn't be tempted. You know, the scripture says, this is 1 Timothy 6 and 10, and I'm not going to take the time to turn to all these places, but it says, "The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." You know, this is right in the middle of the garden. It's right in the middle of all the good things of God. And the devil wants us to love money, folks. He wants us to love the things money buys. He wants us to put our affections and our life and our hopes and our time and our energies into money. It's a mistake. Turn from it. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't let it be something that becomes a hook in our nose. Turn from it and avoid it and pass not by it. Have one thing in mind in our life, and that is to do God's will. Lord, I want to do your will. Above all other things, I want to do the will of God. And yes, I have to make a living, and I want to make as good a living as I can while I'm making a living. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? But when we start loving those things, folks, and that's where our heart is. That's where our loves are. And we can kind of figure out where our loves are, can't we? We talk about them. We think about them. It's what our life revolves around. You know what else it says? Flee also youthful lusts. What's a youthful lust? It's the things young folks like to do. Old folks aren't quite the same. More of them are tempted with money than young folks. A lot of times young folks are young. They're thinking about the party. They're thinking about the fun things of life. They're thinking about what they can do to go and do and whatever satisfies the flesh at the moment. Young folks, I want to tell you something. Settle yourself on the Lord and seek after Him. Eve could have followed that path around that tree, I believe. I believe she could have set her walkway around that tree. I can tell you, I believe she could have. But she went right by it. She looked at it. She stopped. She ate of it. Folks, if we want to make heaven our home, then let's set ourselves up for it. Why not set ourselves up for it? Why not make our decisions that we're going to follow after the things that make for righteousness? I'm going to be in service. I'm going to go to some camp meetings. I'm going to follow after the things of God with all my heart. I'm going to learn to sacrifice. I'm going to ask God to help me to understand His ways. I want to be a part of His work. And you know what? When we do those things and we start reaching out, you know, the Lord gives us a lot of things we can do. There's a lot we can do in life, if we will, for the Lord. He tells us to watch for the widows, doesn't He? And the fatherless. They're everywhere around us, aren't they? Our land is full of them. You know, that's just for starters. There's so many things we can apply our lives to. And I want to encourage us tonight to follow after those things that make for righteousness in our lives. And I think you'll have more fun than you will the other way. If I can use the word fun. Okay? Folks, living for the Lord has challenge. You want challenge in your life? You can find it in the Lord. Okay? So I just want to encourage us tonight. The Lord help us flee youthful lust. That means don't go in the middle of them. Don't go by it and start partaking of it all and say, you know, well, I'm not going to let it overcome me. Yes, I'm getting in with this group of people and we're going there and I know they're all going to want to do such and such and I'm not going to want to. You know, that's the wrong place to be. You want to be with a group that wants to do God's will. And then you're setting yourself up for success. And so as we are looking at life and all the things of life, let's look at it in a bigger picture and realize God wants me to set my life up for success in the Lord. I believe that tonight. You know what else it says? It says to flee fornication. You know, folks, we live in a whole country that is given to it. It's just totally given to it. I want to encourage us tonight to go wide around it, okay? Don't build your road, don't build your walkway right by it. Don't go by those places that tempt you. Build in some room, some relief, some area, some buffer, and go around it. And if you have to, cut your arm off. Is that all right? That's what Jesus said. I know He wasn't talking about cut your physical arm off. He was talking about make the hard choices that you need to make to go around things that are tempting to you. Don't talk to Satan about it. Keep yourself strong in the Lord and be faithful. Folks, if we'll do this, it'll help us to be able that we won't be falling. You know, there's a time. And I want to think a little bit about these things over in 2 Peter 1. Not going to enumerate these things that Peter says to add to your faith. But I want to say this. If you drop on down in the 10th verse, it says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Did you hear that tonight? You know how many times I've read this and said, yes. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. If you set yourself up in this way, you'll never fall. That's what the Scripture says. You know what it means? It means add to your faith. It means grow in your spiritual life. It means get saved, know you're saved, delivered from sin, and start growing. Start adding to your faith and add some things to it. Add knowledge. Add the knowledge of God. Add the knowledge of His Word. Read it until you know where things are. When people say such and such, you pretty well know about where it is. You know what? You can do that. We can all do it. Most of us can. God gave us great facilities like that, didn't He? And so we begin to add to our faith. We begin to add to that initial experience. You want to make it to heaven, folks? There's a way we can do it. You want to mess up and miss it? There's a way you can do it. Just start giving yourself to the flesh and don't show up when church time comes. What's that matter? Because God said to be there. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Folks, I want to encourage us to be there. Be there. Well, I want to tell you what the devil will say, because I've heard this. I've been told this. The definition of forsake means to completely sever ties with. That's the devil. Is that all right? That's the devil. You're in a conversation with him. I want to tell you what, if you put that in the positive, be there. Okay? Be there. Set yourself up for success. I don't know how many times I've been to service and I didn't want to go every time. And you know what? Sometimes I go and I hear exactly what I need. Or the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord begins to work. And you know what? And then life comes about. Everything changes and you come home all encouraged. And you could have been home thinking about something else, getting yourself into trouble some way. Thinking about this thing that keeps going through your mind. Put it aside. Set yourself up to be able to make it to heaven. Folks, if you got things on your heart and life tonight, you have things that you're fighting and battling with tonight, you might need to just lay it down. You might need to set it aside and decide, I'm going to go around that thing. I'm going to flee that thing. I'm not going to let it have that place in my life. So the Lord help us tonight to look for those good things that God has for us. You know, when you read about Jesus and the temptations that we read about earlier a little bit in Luke 4, it says, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. What's that mean? You mean he didn't permanently kick him? That wasn't the end of it? No, it wasn't the end of it. Satan crucified Jesus. He belittled him. He tempted him. He spoke evil against him. He hit him on the head with a reed when he had thorns on there. You know what his people did? And that's what the devil's going to do. Do you think that you're going to whip the devil one time and it's going to be over? Folks, we've got to keep ourselves strong. And so I want to encourage us tonight to set down some new anchors in our life that says, okay, I see, Lord, I got to set myself up for this. I can't wait until I'm overpowered and I can't seem to make it. I got to set myself up for it. And so we begin now, while we are strong, to set down pillars and posts and places that we can settle on and depend on. And then when the trial comes, then we can say, get behind me, Satan. We've been meditating on the good things of God. We've been doing God's will and feeling His anointing in our hearts. We've been studying His Word and feeling the challenge that God brings to us. Now, is that every day? No, it's not. Because some days it's like, Lord, help me here to get something out of this. You ever had that? I have. Plenty of times. But you know what? You don't quit because of that. You set yourself up for success. Because I'm going to keep on reading. I'm going to keep on understanding. I'm going to keep on, Lord, what's this mean for me? And do you know that, folks, if you do these things, you shall never fall. And when I hear that verse in my mind, I know it means growth. I know it means instead of dealing around the edges and all of the things and feeling all the temptations and pulls and our mind and letting all those things work. Folks, shuck those things back. Get them out of our life. Get them away. Tell them, get to behind me, Satan. And fill your life with good things. There's a whole world of God's things to fill our hearts with. There's a whole world of thanksgiving if we open up our eyes to it. You can't say, well, somebody didn't have enough. Eve had everything there was. That's the way it is, folks. We have to be able and willing. Lord, I'm not going to look at what somebody else has. I'm not going to look at what I don't have. But thank you for this plate here that's got grapes on it and that's got all these good things and meat, and you made and designed that, and then you made it so that I could put it on my plate, and here I've got it. Thank you, Lord. Wow, thank you for what you've given to me. Or we could lift up our eyes and say, my house isn't anything like theirs, and my life isn't near as easy as theirs. That's a mistake, folks. Setting ourselves up for problems when we do that. Satan's going to depart for a season, but I want to tell you something. He'll be back. He'll be back to beat up on you. He'll throw dirt clods at you and all of that. But folks, that's all right. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Do you think he went around hanging his head all his life? No, he didn't. Because he didn't fixate on those things. His was doing the will of God. And right in the middle of life, right in the middle of all that, was a garden of healings and blessing and the Spirit of God working and the power of God in his life. And yet, in the middle of that was these little temptations. And he could have fixated on them at any time if he had wanted to. So the Lord help us tonight. I know it's getting late. I just want to encourage us, folks. Unreasonable or foolish, silly mistakes cost me big time. Let's don't do that. It sets us up for problems, doesn't it? Let's, by the grace of God, enjoy the good things of God. Don't fixate on the why of life. Whys. Why this and why that? You know, I want to look at a few things here, and we're almost done. One thing builds on another. I want to tell you what I have watched through the years that I've been around. And I'm not an old man, but I've been around a long time here. And, you know, hurt feelings not healed. There is a time for us to overcome those. And I want to encourage you tonight, this is your time. Overcome them while you can, because there's going to be another time, and maybe the Lord will help me to bear this out in a way that's understandable. But folks, there is a time to grow. There's a time to take care of things, and then there's a time it's too late. Maybe it's at the end of our life when we should have been places, and now we're so tangled up we don't know how we could get loose. Folks, the time is like right now. You have this opportunity to put down pilings and to put down foundations and build on something solid. It's a time, folks, for us to be able to become strong. It's a time for us to set ourselves up for heaven, for success. And the scriptures tell us if you do these things, you'll never fall. I believe that. I take that to myself. I rest in that. And I found it to be so, too. You know, selfish ways that are not overcome are something that one day drags us down. Now, we know, at some point in our life anyway, we know when we're Mr. Selfish, Mrs. Selfish, don't we? You know what it does? I just want to tell you what the progression of things does. Someday, our spouse gets tired of that. And a lot of them leave. You know what? That selfishness, when we want to be able to talk with our children and really talk heart to heart, and we've been selfish. It's hard enough to make those connections, isn't it, without it? But when we're selfish, we've built a wall. And by then, we can start really trying to change that, but it's late in the game at that point. You know, there's a time for us to take care of things. And folks, it is so good to take care of it when it's the time. So if the Lord's working with us tonight, let's just let Him help us with those things. We're going to need that growth and experience one of these days. You know, and then what happens is, now hurt feelings and selfish ways, and then discouragement settles in, doesn't it? And things knock us around and things begin to happen, and it just does. Folks, I'm not going to try to explain it all. I just know in the time I've been here, the many years, I've seen it over and over. Folks, let's let the Lord set us up for success in our spiritual life. If we have ways that displease the Lord, and then let's get down to business and work and with all of our heart and mind and seek God for His grace and strength and watch those things disappear and grow. And then when we get to those places in life, we'll have some solid something under us. The devil comes along, we say, "Get behind me, Satan." It's not the first encounter with him, is it? No. Get thee behind me, Satan. I've got good stuff here. I've got good stuff. I don't have time for you. You know, then we start getting discouraged. And folks, there's a progression that happens. We make reasons why we can't be in service. Is that true? It happens, folks, over and over. How many times have we seen it? If we find ourselves here and we're in any of these steps, folks, I want to encourage us tonight to run to the Lord and get back to square one with Him. Then discouragement, then neglecting, then we fill it with other things. We're neglecting, but that's not all, because we're going to fill our life with things, aren't we? We're either going to fill it with the work of God, with being in service, and all, or we're going to fill it with other things. Those other things are not likely going to be the things that's going to make sure we get to heaven. And then, folks, our hearing is going to get bad. And we're not going to be able to hear the Lord. We're not going to be able to know what He's saying. Folks, I want to encourage us tonight to hear the Lord. Hear Him clearly. Hear Him when He speaks in a still small voice. And then when He thunders to us, we'll hear that too. He don't often thunder from my perspective, but we aren't tuned well enough to hear the pilot's voice. Folks, that's what happened with that plane. Some way he didn't hear. Somewhat, and 583, I believe, people lost their life. Now, folks, we can set ourselves up just the opposite. I want to encourage us tonight, if the Lord's talking to you, let's just let Him have His way. Lord, set me up. Set me up for success. I know that I'm not invincible except by the grace of God, but I believe, folks, we can be set up for success. And then we begin to err in judgment. And pretty soon, everybody's saying, "What's going on?" And we're saying, "Well, this is what's going on." But it's wrong judgment. Folks, that's the way it goes, doesn't it? And then Satan gets the advantage. That's a chain of events leading up to Satan getting the advantage. But it can be just the opposite, as we've talked about all evening long. Now, folks, at that point, maybe we feel like we are rightfully discouraged. But I want to encourage us tonight that the things that we've heard among many witnesses, folks, the same. Paul told Timothy, "Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We need some faithful men and women tonight. Will you step up to the plate and be one of those that says, I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to try to make it by the hair on my chin or by the skin on my teeth. They say, I'm going to try to make it by the grace of God. And I'm going to try to set myself up and grow and add, put away the things that would give Satan the advantage. When the Lord deals with me on things, that I take care of those so that, folks, we can make the distance. Because that's what he plans to do. Faithful men and women who shall be able to teach others also. Oh, listen. I know you want a good time in your life. You want peace in your life. You want some happiness in your life. Then you better give it to the Lord. Y'all pray for me. Amen.